May the Lord help us to commence by singing part of hymn number 306. We'll omit verse 5. Hymn 306, omitting verse 5. Oh, the pangs by Christians felt when their eyes are open, when they see the gulfs of guilt they must wade and grope in, when the hell appears within, causing bitter anguish, and the loathsome stench of sin makes the spirit languish. Hymn 306, omitting verse 5.
Let us read together in the Holy Word of God from two passages of Scripture. Firstly, we will turn to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. And then secondly, to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5. Psalm 96. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honour and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that was with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go, and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them, No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, If otherwise, then both the new make of the rent and the peace that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us and help us now to pray. O Lord, God Almighty, we do seek that grace to come before thee now in the attitude of prayer before thy throne of grace. Help us to call upon thy great and holy name. And help us this evening, O Lord, we pray thee to worship thee aright, in spirit and in truth. May the gathering of the people be unto thee, and may thy name be exalted and extolled and lifted up very high. Oh, we do pray that thou help us in thy house. In a company of poor, wretched, needy sinners thou knowest. But we do pray that we may know thy salvation, and being partakers of it may give thee, O that glory. Lord, help us, we pray. May we have thy presence amongst us this evening hour. Oh, this is what we long for as we come to thy house, that we may, Lord, be found in thy presence. May thy Holy Spirit be given us, O preacher and people. That power be granted us this evening to behold thee, that Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And we do pray thou hast put in our hearts those living desires, those breathings, holy breathings after thee, those groanings that cannot be uttered. We do pray that thou wilt, Lord, appear. Or we ask there may be those portions for sinners. May there be that to take home. And we do pray that, Lord, we may be fed in thy house. That thou wilt bless us in thy house. Bless the sanctuary to us, we pray thee. That thou wilt bless the provision of thy house and satisfy thy poor with bread. Lord, all we do ask that it may be, Lord, life, eternal life, administered to us. Thy word is so clear that he hath the Son hath life, but he who hath not the Son of God hath not life. All we do pray, Lord, that we may this evening receive of thee. May we know what it is to eat and drink thy flesh and blood by faith. We do pray that we may know him of whom we have sung, even Lord, to come to Calvary. Lord, do reveal thyself, we pray thee. Lord, do forgive us our mighty sins. I know as they testify against us. Lord, we ever realize that we dwell, Lord, in this body of sin and death. And, O Lord, in our most holy things we O Lord, we are still sinners. Oh, then we pray that thou hast have mercy. Cleanse us from all iniquity. And do thou accept us for Jesus' sake. And it may be to him that we're enabled to look this night. Oh, graciously then, Lord, do come amongst us. Bless each soul here present. Lord, thou knowest those that are thine. Oh, thy dear sheep, O Lord. And we pray that thou wilt, as we have read, even of one or two of thy disciples, thou call them, that thou speak to them, as here that they may hear thy voice. Oh, bless them, we pray, this night. And we pray that thou bless this people as they meet, Lord, in thy house from week to week. May they, Lord, be found under the sound of the truth. Be amongst those blessed ones, those favoured ones who know the joyful sound. Lord, do help them and be with them as they meet. And Lord, work thy salvation here, we pray. This is what we pray for in the causes of truth. Oh, abundantly bless thy word. May it not return to thee void. May it be to the salvation of souls. May it be to the raising up of souls to that sure and certain hope in thee. May it be to the quickening of that precious faith, that faith that cometh by hearing, and that hearing by the word of God. May it be with each one of us, that these hours in thy house may not, O Lord, be in vain. It may be to the salvation of our never dying souls. We do pray that there may be those things worked in us. We do pray that thou wilt, Lord, show to us the things of God. Build us up in our most holy faith. Grant us that which we lack. Teach us, Lord, in all our ignorance. Open our eyes, unstop our deaf ears. O Lord, and we pray that we may be each prepared for that eternity before us. Lord, we pray that we may be undeceived, have a heart deceived above all things. And those things, O Lord, which O Lord, we may be deceived in. O Lord, those things which are of the natural man. O, we pray that thou wilt deliver us. May we know, Lord, thy teaching. We do pray that we may have that true and living faith, that God-given repentance. So be with us, we ask, in our needs. Thou knowest what we have need of as we come into thy house this evening. Oh, then we pray thou look down upon each soul gathered here. And we do pray there may be something for thy people. May it please thee to lead us into thy truth this evening, Lord, that there may be that for the cases of thy people. And we pray thy word then may not return to thee void. Do remember thy church in the earth, we pray. We do thank thee there is a remnant still in our day. And we do pray that thou wilt build up thy church, O Lord, here below. Even thy church in our land, in our denomination. Keep us and lead us into thy truth, O Lord, and may such be added unto us as shall be saved. O Lord, we pray thy blessing upon this land of ours, upon our rulers. Lord, may they be guided for the sake of thy people, for the good of this land. Pray there may be peace in our day, and pray there may be peace for thy people. That they may lead that quiet life in all godliness. We ask all according to thy will. O Lord, we would remember thy people everywhere. Thy people in every situation. Those who are destitute, persecuted, tormented, afflicted. And Lord, we know some in our own land indeed. In this. Remember all thy poor and afflicted people. Some of them, Lord, have bodily afflictions. Oh, remember them, we pray. We ask that thou wilt send those restoring mercies, Lord, to some of thy servants laid aside. And we pray that thou wilt maintain yet in the causes of truth the ministration of thy word. So, Lord, do remember us here this evening. We also pray for the deacons here, Lord. Be mindful of them and help them in all their exercise. and the giving out of the hymns, and all the many matters of the church here, and the church in the midst of them. Lord, each friend in the congregation, do bless each one. So be with us here this evening. We ask that thou help us. We do pray that we may be led into thy truth. And we do pray that we may, Lord, have been able to worship thee. We plead all through the merits, the precious blood and name of the Lord Jesus. And for his sake, amen.
Hymn number 678. There's not a man that's born of God, but readily will say, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Hymn 678.
The Lord is pleased to help us this evening. Let us turn to the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 5 and to verses 31 and 32. Luke chapter 5 verses 31 and 32. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. These words of the Lord Jesus were spoken in answer to that question put by the scribes and Pharisees, who murmured that the Lord Jesus sat down with publicans and sinners to eat. Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Oh, then the Lord Jesus replied, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Well, these scribes and Pharisees, they were those who were whole. It was to them, you see, the Lord applied this word. They that are whole need not a physician. And how solemn a matter it is. How solemn a matter it was that they murmured at the Lord Jesus. He who came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. How solemn they saw no beauty in him. How solemn they had no need of him. Is this not then a very solemn condition that the Lord Jesus describes here? They that are whole. What does it mean? They who need no salvation. And what is certain about this word is that they were whole in their own perception. But the truth of the matter is this. The word of God tells us that we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Oh, then these Pharisees, poor Pharisees, who murmured in great enmity in their hearts. Why is there enmity? Because they loved their own righteousnesses. Oh, and they thought they were a little better, you see, than these publicans and sinners. They weren't as bad as those publicans and sinners. But the Lord Jesus knows the hearts of men. Yes, there may be that good on the outside. Jesus called these Pharisees in another place whited sepulchres. Inside, though, they were like dead men's bones. There was nothing good. Utter defilement. But the outside was kept clean. Oh, the Lord Jesus knows all about us. His eyes was a flame of fire. And though we keep our outside clean, inside, what are we? Oh, then, how he speaks, you see, that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. What a mercy of the Lord has made us, by his grace, these sick sinners. Yes, I believe it's heart that saves these sensible sinners. Yes, that a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. Yes, those who need the Lord Jesus. Well, this, I believe, was a wonder of wonders to poor sinners, that the Lord Jesus went to eat and drink with them. Does this not show, then, why he came into this sin-cursed world? And does he not declare his coming and his mission? Here, in our text, I came, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is why he came. This is the reason why God sent him into this world. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Well, the Lord Jesus then, how he comes to call poor sinners out. Sinners that know their need of him will hear his voice. He comes to call them effectually. It is a call of grace. And his sheep will hear his voice. They will hear the sound of the everlasting gospel that Christ proclaimed. Or when he said, as according to those words in Isaiah, if we turn to them, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now this is indeed the way that Christ, yea, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, shall be glorified, in that he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, then have we known something of this good physician? This good physician to come and heal us. There is something you see in us, yea, a very deep malady, which we cannot heal. And this is set forth indeed in the many maladies that came before the Lord Jesus. And we read some of them in the chapter this evening. Only the Lord had the power to heal them. What a mercy that we read it. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. How did the Lord obtain this power? Why? He is the eternal Son of God. But what must he do? He must die for our sins and rise again for our justification. He must overcome, he must conquer sin. And this he did when he himself was made an offering for sin. Oh, then how he is able, by his own precious blood, to heal these poor sinners. This is our only hope. This alone is that balm which will heal your complaint. It is alone the precious blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. No other cures will do. No, they may seem to patch up the malady, But only the precious blood of Christ can cleanse us from all sin. And it's this alone that will make us whole. Heal us throughout. Heal us of all our diseases. That we may be able to join in with the psalmist in Psalm 103, who blessed the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. He that forgives all thine iniquities, heals all thy diseases. Well, this physician, he can put everything right within us and in our lives. And this is so abundantly plain when the Lord delivered souls, like the man Gadarene, that woman taken in adultery, how from thenceforth, oh, he enabled them to walk in those paths of righteousness. Oh, it's all through the virtue of his precious blood and the power that he has to heal the sick. And Christ then displayed his power over sin. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Well, this is a great mercy if the Lord has taught us our need. The truth is, you see, that we are great sinners in the sight of a holy God. And to rightly understand what sin means, we must see it in the light of his countenance. God is holy. That means he is infinitely pure. And how the angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." In the light of this, we realize how defiled we are, so impure compared to the Almighty. And you know how necessary this is that we are healed. We feel it on our hearts to speak of it. Because, bless his name, he came to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It is necessary if ever we are going to get to heaven. In that holy place, nothing can enter in that defileth. The work of an abomination that maketh a lie, but those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now I believe in this light we realise how vital was his coming. Without it, you see, we would sink forever. Without it, we'd never get to heaven. Adam and Eve were cast out of his presence in that Garden of Eden, cast out of paradise. They lost that holy and righteous image of God that was impressed upon them. And in dying, they would die. That defilement has been passed upon all mankind. And we ourselves, you see, as we grow up in this world, we sin, don't we? The very nature is defiled by sin. And there are many deeds of sin in thought, word and deed, aren't there? Oh, then it shows us, doesn't it, that we are defiled. But you know, there is no way that sin can dwell with God. Therefore, we needed that blessed mediator to come, that man Christ Jesus, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, to reconcile us in his own body unto God. How he stands between sinners and a holy God. It's only hearing Jesus Christ that we can worship God, commune with God, have anything to do with God. We cannot know God apart from Jesus Christ. And this is what it is to worship in the beauty of holiness. Worship him, as the margin says there, we read of it in Psalm 96, in his sanctuary. What is that? Is in his only begotten Son. We can only worship God in his sanctuary. As poor sinners are brought to know that refuge for sinners, that place by God. It's only there, you see, we can have anything, any dealings with the God of heaven. Well, Christ is that mediator that is set before us here. And he came not only to call these sinners, but to die for them. Oh, to be their surety, to stand in their place, to suffer their death, their hell. These sinners. Oh, then to rightly value that coming. I came, that coming of Jesus, how low he stooped. He who was in the bosom of his Father for all eternity, how low he stooped to come to do this. That one whom we cannot comprehend, that one with the Father, the infinite God, our Creator, who was before all worlds, and through whom all things consist. How low he came. It took upon him the form of a servant. He became man. And yes, in that state of humiliation here, it was to call sinners to repentance. Oh, the tremendous mercy then, the Lord Jesus came. And I believe this is the only hope. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus. But let us continue with our thoughts. You see, in this respect, that we can have no dealings with God apart from him, and we can never come into the presence of a holy God hereafter. Because nothing shall enter heaven that defileth. Nothing. And what does that mean? It means that you and me, in our natural state, could never enter heaven. Did not the Lord Jesus say to Nicodemus that flesh and blood could not inherit the kingdom of God? That means you're corruptible flesh, you and me. We can't come there. Oh, then what a work needs to be done, doesn't it? That we might be fit for heaven and dwell in his presence. What needs to be done? We need to be washed. And we need to be clothed. and the Lord needs to grant us that holiness for his immediate presence. Poor sinners need everything from God. For if in us there dwelleth no good thing, how much we need his grace, how much we need his salvation, how much we need Jesus to be made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We need his precious blood, that our souls and our bodies may be redeemed from the curse and from the fall. How we need to be justified by his death and resurrection. How we need to be sanctified, which Jesus has done as separating his people through his own precious blood. Oh, then such a work needs to be done. And in the believer also, in these poor sinners, that they may be made truly righteous and truly holy and truly whole. Such a work. Now let us be clear on this. The work of grace in the Lord's people is not a renovation of their old man. It's not a patching up, as we read later, you see, upon the old. No. It's a new man. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. To be made then by his grace whole, this work begins in a sinner's heart here below. Yes, it will not be completed here, will it? No, it will grow as the apostle. In me there dwelleth no good thing. While we're in the body of this sin and death. But there will be in the soul of the Lord's people that healing. Oh, the Lord knows those awful evils within. And through the power of his death and resurrection, how he is able to save his people from their sins. And that where sinners abounded, grace shall much more abound. How he sends the Holy Spirit into their sin-riddled hearts, and how he, the Blessed Spirit, brings of the things of Jesus, applies the balm of the Lord Jesus to their souls, purifying their hearts by faith. How he alone can heal the disorders of their souls. There is then this work that goes on in this world. This is a necessary work, isn't it? You know your own heart by nature. You can't control its passions. You can't heal those defilements. You can't remove the guilt, the guilty stains. No, you're like that leper that we read of. You're completely defiled. And you know that if ever it's going to be put right, It must only be by this good physician. So what do these poor sinners do who are taught by grace? It's this. It's, Lord, save me. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It's applying to him who is the King of grace, who has more grace than our sins. And if we possess God-given precious faith, that saving faith, the faith of God's elect, we will look unto Jesus to save us. And so often we read in the Gospels, don't we? According to your faith, be it unto thee. Not of works, no. Lest any man should boast. But precious faith in Jesus, that good physician. Oh, then it is from him that we shall be made whole. And I believe the Lord will know this inwardly as they know that cleansing and those healings, those forgivenesses, the removing of their defilements, and how in this they are unspeakably favoured. For Jesus says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now this word is no doubt is a word of encouragement to the Lord's people. He does not drive away these poor, sick people. He calls them to repentance. He says, return unto me. Return unto me. Oh, a mercy that there is still hope in this gospel day. Yes, a day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And this call is still made to all his poor lost sheep. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Well, have we known anything of being amongst these sinners? And yet sinners that receive him gladly, as we read of Zacchaeus, who was chief amongst the publicans. Oh, how when he came down from that tree, he received him into his house gladly. Yes, to the righteous there is no beauty in him, that they should desire him. Not at all. Yes, and the beauty in Christ is that he is the Saviour. This is his glory, that he is the Saviour. You see, many may paint pleasant pictures of Christ, but this is his glory. He came to save his people from their sins. That's the glory you will see by faith now, if you're the Lord's people. And you read then how, and we read some of it here, how they glorified him. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God. Why, you shall glorify him as the Saviour. Well, the Lord knows how to call his people. He will so order their circumstances things in their soul's experience, that their hearts may be opened and their ears unstopped to hear his voice. They perhaps will feel to be the very last to hear it, the very worst of sinners. And they may, as they come to the Lord's house, feel indeed the most unworthiest to receive anything. But the tremendous mercy, is this not here in that condition that we come to know him? Oh, the great mercy that he came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. If he came to call the righteous, none would be saved, would they? None. Oh, that we might plead this word before him as we come before him in our closets and know day by day our defilement, that we in God's holy sight are impure. May we plead this word. Plead it as our hope. Plead it as we come before him at the throne of grace. Why, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Well, this is the mercy of God. It shows his condescension. We are sinners and we need mercy. But there is forgiveness with thee, said the psalmist, that thou mayest be feared. We have to come as the publican came, as we read, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Well, these poor sinners then, what has the Lord called them to? He's called them to glory and virtue. He's called them to partake of his holiness. He's called them to partake of his righteousness. To receive grace for grace. What an unspeakable mercy. Does he not raise up beggars from the dunghill and set them amongst princes to inherit the throne of glory? This is what he's called them to and called them for. Oh, if only we could understand. Dear friends, the great end to this call. And although you groan at this present time, long for that day of redemption, even the redemption of your body, there will be a day, and you shall be made whole in body and soul, and there be perfect. Know him as he is known. Be completely holy as he is holy. Oh, then I say, how vital is this work. This vital work to be called as sinners out of this world. You see, he calls them out. He calls them out. God knows those that are his. All that Jesus died for are called out. And with that purpose, the end of our calling, even to receive the adoption of sons, that eternal inheritance. Well, we We want to speak of that holy presence of God, his righteousness. The vital necessity of this salvation. For who were they that the Apostle John saw in glory? There were those who washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. All sinners, but washed in the precious blood of Christ. How the apostle, I believe, writer to Corinthians, speaks to them, and such were some of you. Although that list, that catalogue of iniquity, such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And it's sinners that will inherit that throne, isn't it, hereafter? To be washed is so vital. Can then you come in with David when he said, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Oh, he knew what he needed before a holy God. Yes, that holy then, that holy place above, the most holy place. Oh, how we shall only enter there if we are washed. But there is here below also this holy place in a sinner's heart. And the Holy Ghost is that one who alone can make it so. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? What we are speaking of here this evening then is that it's sinners that partake of these heavenly blessings. And yet, you see, we must, if we are going to get to heaven. Heaven is that holy place. If we indeed look at the scriptures, we'll realise just how much holiness is associated with God himself. Holiness is what he is. Holiness is where he is. Holiness is what he separates, what he sanctifies. We read in his word that the Lord's people have made that holy nation and the peculiar people. Can we not then see what a great work God has done in these sinners? And how they shall be made perfectly whole by grace. Oh, the sweet prospect, sinner, here in this world, is that if you partake of his grace here, just a little, and know that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness, you will know that ocean fullness above. And if you're on the earth, you've tasted those streams, if you know that blood here that cleanses from all sin, you will be perfectly whole. Be amongst those, yes, in glory to come, who shall be in his holy presence forever. Oh, then, have we known something of Christ here? Even that fountain we've mentioned, opened for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, how it's ever open for guilty sinners. God opened it. He opened it in the fountain of Jesus' precious blood. Have we known a little of that fountain? Even fellowship with him in his sufferings. I don't believe the Lord's people will be strangers to that fountain. They can't be. The virtue of that fountain in the precious blood of Jesus. Why, as sinners, that is our only hope. We need it applied. We need it sprinkled upon our consciences inwardly, that we may be cleansed from dead works to serve the living God. Oh, what a mercy if we've known something of that inward application. And do we not know this? That it is that alone which cleanseth from all sin. Well, poor sinners, they will plead it. They will long for it. They will see the beauty in it. And indeed, as David, how they will mourn after it. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Well, the precious word of God, how he invites sinners, how everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. He says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. In return unto the Lord, he'll have mercy upon him. Oh, the mercy of God in this. Oh, the sweet call to sinners. Come unto me, he says, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, how he, like that Samaritan, pours in the oil and the wine of the gospel to heal our wounds. Oh, is it not only the truth as it is in Jesus that does it? Does he not find us how we are? Like that man who's wounded. Does not show us where sin gets us, doesn't it? Oh, how we and the child of God will not sin lightly. And we solemnly prove it, don't we? The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. It's a solemn thing, is sin. Just one sin defiles, and one sin will cause us to die, and that eternally. Sin then is not a small thing. Oh, where has sin got us? like that man, yes, in that parable of the Good Samaritan, half dead. If you go in the path of sin, it'll destroy you. Yes, sin is that which destroys. Is that which the devil would have us to do? He who came to destroy men's lives. But Jesus came to recover. Jesus came to save. And if there is one in this house this night who feels beyond the power of his grace, we read, he can save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Oh, the mercy then that though you and I get ourselves into some terrible places through sin, he is able to recover and deliver completely. We find it in our circumstances also, as David did. There was much mercy towards David in many aspects of his life. When the Lord restores a soul, oh, how it restores many things beside those crooked things in their lives that have gone wrong because of sin. He puts those right as well. For he'll make us perfectly whole, perfectly sound. Oh, the mercy of it. There's no other physician that can do this, is there? But he can. Oh, then to bring all our crooked and wrong things to him. Those things that we know in our lives and in our path. Oh, that perhaps are so crooked and wrong. Bring to the good physician. Oh, how Jesus said, whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up and walk. In other words, he that can forgive thy sins can heal all thy diseases. Therefore, what may we bring before this good physician? All our troubles, all our problems, all our hard cases. Lord, if thou wilt. And yet we have to come as the man, help my unbelief. All then too. Bring all those troubles of fruit of the curse, aren't they, to the Lord Jesus. Ask him to undertake. Ask him to work for us. To make the crooked things straight and the rough places plain. This good physician can. Well, nothing is too hard for him. He can put matters right in our all that concerns us. In our circumstances. In our families. In our business, in the church of God. If he lay his hand upon us, we shall be whole. Well, the man then that we were speaking of, who went from Jerusalem to Jericho in that parable, and was left half dead. Friends, he was recovered, and that is such a blessed type of the Lord Jesus. Oh, how then, poor sinners also in this respect. who are so wounded by the law of God, who have indeed, as the apostle, that commandment entered into their hearts. All then shall be healed through the gospel. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Well, the Lord is this good physician. Is there any balm in Gilead? Is there a physician there? Yes. Oh, because the Lord Jesus, why, he says, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. Therefore, there shall be nothing for the Lord's dear people that shall hold them in sin, under Satan's yoke, in bondage. No, he will deliver. He who can save unto the uttermost. For he says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Well, we have then, as we began, set before us that sweet mission of Christ. I came. And he still comes, isn't he? By the Holy Spirit. He still comes to call, and he still comes to heal poor sinners. Have we heard his voice? Have we known something of the power of his name? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners of repentance. Oh, how the Lord still visits souls. And how the worst of sinners are welcome to a throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Well, we need this salvation. And he has called us that we may be partakers of his holiness. How the Lord will make all these wretched sinners perfectly whole. Yes, and it will be realized at that last, that great day, when he will raise the dead. And there you see, they will be caught up to be with him in his holy presence. Oh, then the sweet mercy of it. You see on earth how we, as wretched sinners, will often need to plead this word. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field will preach on the coming Lord's Day, and Mr. Timothy Rosier on Wednesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 1040. When we lay in sin polluted, wretched and undone we were, all we saw and heard was suited only to produce despair. Ours appeared a hopeless case, such it had been, but for grace. Hymn 1040.
pardon all that thou hast sinned amiss with us this evening hour. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.